You're hearing the Echoes podcast, and coming up, I've got a wonderful interview with John Hassell, great trumpeter and one of the pioneers of electronic music. He celebrated his 80th birthday on March 22nd, so we'll be hearing an interview with him, including comments from Brian Eno and several others. But before we get to that, I want to remind you that these interviews and podcasts are available for free, but it still costs a lot of money to put them together and get them to you. So while you're listening, think about making a donation to Echoes. You can do it at echoes.org. That's Echoes, echoes.org. And now, let's celebrate John Hassell's 80th birthday. You're hearing Echoes, and I'm John DiLiberto. An unsung hero of techno-tribal music enters his ninth decade. Trumpeter John Hassell's music roots go back to Karlheinz Stockhausen, Lamont Young's Theater of Eternal Music, and playing on the first recording of Terry Riley's In C. He created the sound of techno-tribal music that was brought to popularity in collaborations with Brian Eno, and his distinctive trumpet sound has been adopted by musicians like Mark Isham. I first heard John with his debut album, Vernal Equinox, back in 1977, and I've interviewed him several times since 1986. We look back on a musician who is still pushing the sonic envelope as he celebrates his 80th birthday.
I'm sort of an evangelist for his music. I really think it's important music, and beautiful music too.
With John Hassell, he's absolutely the musician's musician. The innovations that I think he's brought through have filtered through and through a lot of people's work.
He's beyond the original guy. I mean, everybody who else is original still got it from John, as far as I'm concerned.
That's producer Brian Eno, synthesis Steve Roach, and film composer Jeff Rona. They are among dozens of musicians who have sat at the bell of John Hassell's trumpet and been influenced by his fourth world music. Born in Memphis and a student of avant-garde demigod Karlheinz Stockhausen, Hassell made the turn with many others towards a new tonality in the 1960s. Robert Rich.
I think I first saw his name on the back of Terry Riley's In C, the recording that was made in 1968, and I think one of the more seminal recordings from the 60s.
Terry Riley introduced me to Lamont back just in the time after we had recorded In C.
That's John Hassell. In New York City, he began working in Lamont Young's Theater of Eternal Music. It was a group that performed compositions that lasted hours, sometimes even days.
At that point, people were discovering a lot about the nature of sound itself. When you have something which is static, you have a chance to see your own rise and fall against it in some way or another, and I think that was in keeping with what was going on in the 60s, apropos of experimentation with drugs and learning about physical responses and sensory responses and that kind of thing. That was all part of, op art and the whole how you can screw up your head and vision and ears and everything to come up with some new take on things. Lamont was certainly at the forefront of that.
Through Lamont Young, he found Indian singer Pandit Pranath.
Pranath began singing the patterns that I was playing, only 20 times better and faster and more interesting. And at that point, the lightning bolt hit me that, in fact, I had better settle down and do this one-to-one work of learning to play what I hear and hear what I play. In the way that that is demanded if you go into studying raga.
Steve Roach.
The fact that John Hassell studied with Pandit Pranath and learned that vocal style it just feels like he's transmitting that through his trumpet playing.
John Hassell adapted the flowing, note-bending oral calligraphy of Indian raga to his trumpet playing. Rather than the trumpet blare, Hassell created a unique, breathy style, which was accentuated when he started using a harmonizer. That's an electronic device that doubled his trumpet melodies.
Well, I've always been interested in parallel intervals, as in Gregorian chant, for example. So when the capacity to do that without having to teach someone to play everything that you're playing, a fourth or a fifth away or whatever interval, comes along, it's a technological marvel very hard to pass up.
Brian Eno produced John Hassell's groundbreaking album, Fourth World of Volume 1, Possible Musics.
Part of his playing is to do with understanding that all of that isn't additional, all of that processing and so on. It's very much a part of what he does. In fact, I always am surprised that all these electronic music magazines don't pay more attention to him, because he really is one of the electronic composers of the day. You know, he's one of the most interesting people in that area.
John Hassell developed a pan-global sound that used African pygmy voices, Balinese gamelans, and Senegalese drumming in intricate, shifting mosaics. He wanted music that spoke to the world.
Let's say there was a computer profile of an average man in the world. Put all the physiognomy, all the color, skin color, all the everything together, and what would you come out with? You'd come out with a citizen of the world, okay? And one of the ideas that I have is to make a music which has that kind of universal appeal.
Synthesist Robert Rich took it to heart.
Possible Musics was an album which I think showed a lot of us that you could make electronic music with acoustic instruments and could create a level of intensity and hypnotic trance using traditional rhythmic motifs and incorporate avant-garde vocabulary as well.
As he turns 80, John Hassell has left a stream of influences and devotees as long and curving as his trumpet melodies. Peter Gabriel's Passion, David Sylvian's Gone to Earth, Norwegian trumpeter Niels Petter-Molvær, and trumpeter and film composer Mark Isham have all benefited from the influence of John Hassell. Steve Roach.
Influences are so deep and so probably co-opted is the best word, where it just continues to get heard by other people and they don't know where the original source was, which many times leads back to, you know, to John.
Jeff Rona.
You know, he's one of those pioneers whose contribution to the genre still hasn't really been acknowledged, probably never will, unfortunately, and that's kind of the sad truth of a lot of pioneers, you know.
Oh my God, you mean I failed again? Here I am trying to sell out over and over and over and over, and I just can't seem to do it.
More than technique, fame, or innovation, John Hassell's music has always been about the spirit. You could hear it in his 2009 album, Last Night the Moon Came, Dropping Its Clothes in the Street. The title's from a 13th century poem by Rumi.
Last night the moon came, dropping its clothes in the street. I took it as a sign to start singing, falling up into the bowl of sky. I tell you, Rumi is to me that it's so appealing because he has this combination of this ecstatic approach to existence. When he's in this ecstatic state, he could just as well be talking about a lover, or whether it's he's talking about God. So it's this mixture of the spiritual and the sensual that is, anytime that appears, I'm usually all over it.
John Hassell continues to evolve new music forms, harvesting elements from the global village, whether it's West Africa or East LA. He turns 80 on March 22nd. Thanks for tuning in to the Echoes podcast today. Go to echoes.org to find out more. I'm John DiLiberto. Be sure to keep an eye out for more Echoes interviews at echoes.org or the Echoes newsletter.